My name is Giovanni, and I'm from Venezuela. I was born and raised in the Amazon, in a very distant place. I grew up in a Christian family with my parents and my little sister. My country went through a really hard time economically. I remember that food was scarce. We couldn't find toothpaste, shampoo. It was really hard to find those things. And one day I asked my mom if she could buy me those really good quality markers, and she said she couldn't afford it for me because there were other priorities. But she, as always, she reminds me of this verse from the Bible in Psalms 37 verse 4 that says, "Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desire of your heart." So one special day, there was an event for kids. It was in a soccer field. And there were so many kids with their families, and they were giving shoeboxes. I remember they were sharing the gospel, they were doing some games, playing songs, and at the end they were giving the shoeboxes. So I was in my line waiting for my shoebox. And whenever I got my shoebox, I ran to a corner, I started opening my shoebox, and it was really beautiful because there were so many colors. There were so many toys that were brand new. But for my surprise, I also received my really good quality markers. They were there in the shoebox. From that moment to the shoebox, I understood that what the Bible says is true. Whenever we focus on him, whenever we seek him, whenever we trust in him, he promised to give us the desire of our hearts. To that little girl who packed this shoebox for me, I want to say thank you. I wish I could give you a hug, but thank you. I found Jesus, love in a big, big way, in a different way. It changed my perspective on how I see him.
Thank you so much for that reminder. That is why we are here, is to worship this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. It's so good to see you this morning. If you're our guest, thank you for coming to worship with us this morning. There's a QR code on the screen and in the pew in front of you. You'll take a minute just so we can get to know you a little better. At the end of the service, there's a gift for you out here in the Welcome Center. We want to welcome those watching online as well. We've come to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. As we sing together, let's remember all things are possible with Him.
Almighty God, my Redeemer, my hiding place, my safe refuge, no other name but Jesus. No power can stand against you. My feet are planted on this rock, and I will not be shaken. My hope, it comes from you alone.
Moments and greet somebody around you this morning. Let them know how happy you are to see them. All right, let's sing this great hymn together. Come on. Years I spent in vanity and pride.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died.
For Calvary this morning, church, the blood that was shed there, amen, amen. And we can lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus this morning, knowing that he died for us to make everything whole. So as we sing together, let's sing this great hymn of the faith.
Blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Oh, let's sing this morning. Come on, let's proclaim it. Holy Spirit, you're welcome.
Holy Spirit, you are.
So grateful for the Holy Spirit that's in this place. Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. We pray every week that He would fill this place and that it would overflow out of our lives. And I'm so grateful for His presence, grateful for your presence here today. And just to share with you that every week there's an opportunity, if you feel led by the Holy Spirit, to come pray at this altar, or you're welcome to stand and pray from your seat. For those of you watching today online, you can pray wherever you are. But we all need Him, and I pray that His glory would be shown in our hearts, our lives, in this service. So if you're in this place and you feel led by the Holy Spirit to come pray, I invite you to come join me. As we lift up our prayers together, would you come pray with me today? May we pray together. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Come fill this place and fill the atmosphere with your Spirit. Father, we have come bowing before an almighty God, confessing that without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we are nothing. But we are so grateful, Father, that in and through you, all things are possible. Father, we come bowing again in humility and in awe of how great you are. Father, I lift up every person gathered at this altar, every person praying from their seat, those worshiping God in other places. I pray that they might feel your presence and your power and your love. Father, we lift up families that are grieving and hurting today. Father, we lift up Janice and Larry Williams and the Lippert family and the loss of Mary Lippert, and ask God that you would comfort them and strengthen them, God. And we are sad, but yet we rejoice, God, in her home going. And we know she's celebrating with loved ones who have gone on before. Father, we pray for folks that are at that threshold in a difficult place. We pray for Arvin Webster and the Webster family, and Father, for Bill Willis and Sue and their family. And God, would you just comfort these families, strengthen them, and may they feel your presence. Father, we pray for many recovering from surgeries, facing surgeries in the days to come, and ask, oh God, that you would be the great healer and the great physician. Anoint them and bring them safely through. Lord, we continue to pray for so many who are on our hearts, lost without Christ. Maybe someone in this place has never given their life to Jesus. May this be the day of salvation for someone. And Father, we just pray for Israel. And we pray, God, that you would continue to guide their leaders and guide our leaders, and protect our military and those that are in harm's way. Bless all the families that have lost loved ones. And for those that are still being held hostage, comfort them. And we pray for their safe release. Father, we pray that you would continue to bring spiritual awakening and revival in our country and across the world. Because we know, God, that times are closer than they've ever been to your return. And I pray that we would be watchful and ready, as I was sharing with some folks earlier, and they shared with me that's a message that's being proclaimed, to be watchful and to be ready, to get our houses in order, to get our spiritual lives in order, that we would be prepared for that day when the time comes. Father, I pray that again, you would just bless and anoint, continue to bless and anoint this service. Continue to sing and play through our musicians and instrumentalists. And Father, speak through the power of your word and through your servant. And again, I ask, as I did earlier, when I am weak, then may I be strong in and through you. So Father, we love you and we praise you. And we just give our full surrender to you. It is in the strong and holy and powerful name of Jesus I pray. Amen. This morning, if you have your Bible with you, would you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1? And so grateful after that, our choir and worship team will be coming to lead us in a great song of faith, and so be in prayer for them. I want to share this verse that's familiar to many of you, maybe new to others, and some of the newer translations have changed the wording a little bit from how I memorized and learned it. So I'm going to share the version I know out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. This is the word of the Lord, and blessed be the name of the Lord.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? Because shame's done all its stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my
you all so much. Jesus can change our lives, can he? I'm so grateful for the hope we have in Christ, and thank you all for leading so beautifully and giving us that encouragement that no matter what we're going through, Christ can change our lives when we put our trust in him. I usually have a little humor. I don't have a joke today. Don't get up and leave because I don't. But I am so grateful I can share. I've received this text a couple of days ago, and I thought it was very fitting. But my friend said, I hope that you are filled with the Holy Spirit today, that if a mosquito was to come to bite you, that it would fly away singing there's power in the blood. So, TL, keep them coming. So, you all maybe have heard me share in past times, maybe even seen, when I was just a young child, when I was a toddler, I had a picture in my bedroom that scared me. Y'all remember me sharing this story? It was a painting that my grandmother had painted for me, and whatever reason, when the moonlight or a night light would shine on that picture, it would scare me. And it shouldn't have scared me. It really was a happy picture, but to me, and so today, in front of all of you, I'm facing my fear, and I'm going to show you that picture. And my mother did it, grandmother did a great job painting it, but this clown scared me. For whatever reason, when the light hit just right, that clown face would make faces at me. And I would be paralyzed by my fear, and then I would get the nerve to cry out to my mom or dad, and they would reassure me that there was nothing to be afraid of, that God was with me, and that this was just a painting. And so I'm facing this fear today that this clown will not conquer me. And so I'm grateful. It really is a happy, good clown. But maybe you're here today and you are facing a fear that's paralyzed you, and it's not a painting of a clown. Your fear may be a fear of what's going on with Israel in the Middle East, that we're on the cusp or the verge of yet another world war. Maybe your fear has to do with your health situation, your last medical report, and it's caused you a lot of sleepless nights worrying about the results. Maybe you're afraid about the future. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to work? Who are you going to marry? These are legitimate fears. Or maybe you have been afraid of your financial situation, and you're, if it doesn't change soon, I don't know if we're going to keep the house. I don't know if we're going to be able to pay the bills. Or maybe you are afraid again about a situation that seems to keep creeping in on you. Or maybe you're afraid of being alone, and you don't know what you're going to do. You have these fears that are paralyzing you, and fear can do that. Today in our scripture reading, which might be familiar to many of you, we see Paul writing from a cold, damp, dark dungeon, old cistern, an old well in a prison in Rome. It was called the Mamertine Prison. And he's believed to have been 12 foot underground in this old cistern, old well, writing his son in the ministry, Timothy. The Mamertine dungeon was the last stop for prisoners on their way to execution. This was basically death row. And so Paul was in this place because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And it is here that we see Paul, who had every reason to have been afraid himself, but yet he's writing his son in the ministry, Timothy, for several reasons. One, he's writing because Paul was lonely. We get lonely sometimes, don't we? You get lonely sometimes. You can be in a crowd of people and still be lonely. And yet, he was lonely, awaiting his execution. And tradition and strong evidence leaned toward Paul being beheaded by wicked Emperor Nero. So this was a man who was writing the last words before he would be executed for the cause of Christ. And we see Paul writing, longing for his son in the ministry, Timothy. And if you would look on over in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, remember he said, come quickly, come before winter. And he began to share that he needed his cloak and the parchments, and he wanted his friends, and he wanted God's word, and he wanted to be kept warm. But he also wrote to encourage Timothy because he was going to be pastoring, basically leading the church at Ephesus. And he knew that Emperor Nero was persecuting Christians, persecuting the church. So he was wanting to encourage Timothy to persevere in the gospel and to protect the gospel and to guard the gospel and to keep preaching the gospel and, if necessary, to suffer for the gospel. He was encouraging Timothy during this difficult time. And so understand, this is a man who's basically given his last rites. He's dying. His dying words are to bring encouragement. He knew his days were numbered. Aren't all of our days numbered here on this earth? All of our days are numbered. And so through this beautiful, powerful passage that I know is familiar to many of you, God gives us encouragement. The first thing he said, for God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity. And we know that Timothy evidently lacked confidence. He was kind of timid. And so Paul was saying, God didn't give us a spirit of fear or timidity. I love what Dr. David Jeremiah, pastor, author, said. Fear usually enters in when a person focuses on his or her situation or abilities rather than God's sovereignty and his attributes. That more times than not, when we focus on our situation, our abilities, we're going to be afraid. But when we're focusing on God's sovereignty and his attributes, you can't go wrong focusing on him. And so, did you realize that the Bible says 365 times, do not be afraid? That's one fear not for every day of the year. That's a great reminder that we don't have to be afraid. A passage of scripture that you've heard me share that I tried to teach my children from the time they were young, and I tried to claim that in my own life, is when David said in Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, he said, surely God is my salvation. I will put my trust and will not be afraid. And I'm so grateful today that Paul understood, even in his bleak situation in that prison cell waiting execution, he could still encourage young Timothy and you and me not to be afraid. Now, I want to share something I shared last Wednesday night and to remind you that we are to have a respectful fear of God. If you would look in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it said, fear is the beginning of knowledge, the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. So we are to have a respectful fear. I shared Wednesday, children, we are to have a respectful, reverent fear of our parents. Parents, you are not to be afraid of your children. Some of you allow the children to parent you instead of you being the parent. And we are to have a reverence, a respect. You know, I know my mom and dad love me, and I had a respectful fear for my dad when he was going to discipline me. And so we are to have a respectful fear of God when he allows us to go through circumstances, because he promises to be with us, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He promises to be with us. For God do not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power, of power. We all need power, don't we? We need power to cope with daily life. We need power to help us to keep the faith when life gives us a soul-searing sorrow or a difficult circumstance in our hearts. We need power to stand up against the enemy, the devil, who's constantly wreaking havoc on our lives every day. And maybe you're here and you're thinking, I don't know if God has the power to deliver me from my addiction. That's the devil's lie. He has the power to set you free today. Maybe you're here and you say, I don't think God's got the power to save my marriage. That's the devil's lie. God has the power to save your marriage. Some of you are here and say, I don't know if God has the power to help me right now in my schoolwork. It's piling up and I feel overwhelmed. That's the devil's lie. God has the power to help you. No matter what situation you're going through right now, God gives us the power through His Holy Spirit to help us to overcome. But you've got to believe that. You remember when Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. A verse I quote many times is one when Paul had a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment him. We don't know what it was, but it was tormenting. Paul pleaded three times for God to remove that thorn. But what did the Lord say in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Did you know when we are weak, then He's strong? It's less of us and more of Him. And maybe today God's allowing us to go through this circumstance because He's wanting it to be more about Him instead of us. That He will be revealed more, not our failure, our frailness, but more of His victory and more of His power. And so I'm so grateful for the power we have through the Holy Spirit. And when we know Jesus Christ personally, that power comes into us. And I think there are too many Christians living defeated lives. If we have the power, the resurrection power of Almighty God, don't you think we should live a life of victory instead of defeat? We should walk around not discouraged and down, which we're all human, but we should hold our head high, know that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So I'm so grateful that God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power and of love. Now, specifically, I think Paul was telling Timothy to love the congregation at Ephesus. He was saying, you need to love this church. And that's what we are called to do. We are to love one another. We're to certainly love God. But he was saying, Timothy, love the church. That's what we as pastors are called to do. We are to love the congregation, love the church, and in return, you're supposed to love the pastor. Appreciate that. Anita, I appreciate your amen. All right. And praise the Lord that we are to have this love. And why do we love? Because 1 John 4:16 says God is love. We know in 1 John 4:18 that there's no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear. You know what that means? We don't have to be afraid of judgment or what's going to happen one day because of what Jesus, His finished work on the cross. We don't have to fear judgment or what's going to happen after this life because we have the blessed assurance of salvation through Christ. And then we love because verse 19 of 1 John 4 says, we love because He first loved us. And I want to share this with you all, and I shared this at the early, and I mean this with all my heart. And I've already shared it with a couple folks in the Sunday school office, and I shared with them what we share in the Sunday school office stays in the Sunday school office, but I'm going to share this with you, and I shared it at the early service. You know what? I know I'm not the funniest guy ever to live. I'm not a great joke teller. God didn't call me to be a comedian. I try to make you laugh to break any ice or preconceived notion that you can't have fun as a Christian in God's house. Christians should be the happiest people alive. So I'm not trying to be a full-time comedian. I'd be broke. I know that. I'm not trying to be a funny guy. I like for you to laugh occasionally, but I'm not trying to be a funny guy. I'm not the greatest preacher in the world. I did get an A in preaching practicum, but I am not the greatest preacher in the world. I'm not the deepest theologian in the world. I'm sure there are many who have a whole lot more knowledge than I do. But the one thing I've tried to do for all these years that I've been at this church, and I pray one day when I'm gone from here, I'm gone, that you'll say, I know that Todd loved me. I know that he loved this church. Because that's what I've tried to do. Not pretentiously not genuinely, but authentically, I love. And when you love deeply, you hurt deeply, don't you? I hurt when we lose people like Mary Lippert and others who have touched my life and that I've loved. And I'll be sharing this on Tuesday, but my last words that I share with Mary Lippert, 96 years old, who was longing to be at home. I'm talking about her eternal home. Even though she was fading in and out with morphine, I was able to say, I love you. And her last words to me before I walked out her door was, I love you, Ty. And I know she loved me. And I believe she knows that I loved her. And I pray that you know that. That at the end of the day, if you think nobody loves you, you know that God loves you and I love you too. I promise you that. That's what we're called to do as Christians. We're to love each other. And you know what? I'm human. People, we disappoint one another, don't we? And many times we let people down, intentionally, unintentionally. But at the end of the day, and I have to remind myself, and my wife has to remind me, that at the end of the day, we still must love people, the good, the bad, the ugly, even when people wrong you or hurt you or say or do something against you. We are supposed to love them anyway. And that's hard, isn't it, sometimes? I'm trying. And that struck a chord, no doubt. But we are called to love. For God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline, or a sound mind. And that's what some translations say. Some say self-discipline. Some say sound mind. Some have defined it as this, the sanctity of saintliness. The sanctity of saintliness. And then some have described it this way, that one's self-control of being able to have God's control over panic and over passion. That means that God gives us self-mastery, self-control, self-discipline over no matter what situation that we're going through. Only through Christ's power and the power of the Holy Spirit can we truly have self-discipline. Some of you are here today and you need self-discipline in your life, self-control with your tongue and your gossip. You might need self-control through an addiction that you're facing right now. You might need self-control with your anger. You need self-control in your spending, self-control in your eating, self-control maybe in something that you know is causing you or someone else harm. Is not self-control one of the fruits of the Spirit? For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we're to have, as Christians, self-control. I've shared this story with you before, that years ago, I took our youth group when I was a youth minister snow skiing. And we went, it was either at Butler State Park when those slopes were still open, or it may have been Paoli Peaks or Perfect North, but anyway, the slope that we were on was packed down, slick, and I wasn't a great skier. I should have gone to that little, at the time, you could pay like $10 or $15 to have a little snow skiing training, and I opted out. I'm like, I'm athletic, I can do this, I don't need anybody to tell me how to do it. And I remember I was going down that Black Diamond Hill. The only thing I was told is to turn my skis in. You know, I'm a snowplow, but it was ice, and I was doing like this. Well, I lost control and fell down on my seat, hit a lady in front of me. My skis were behind her. We were sitting there. I just leaned around. I said, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry." And we went on down that hill. True story. Somebody should have had it on video if there would have been phones. And that's how some of our lives are. You're going down a slippery slope out of control with the possibility of injuring yourself or someone else. And we all need proper training, which comes to us through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the guide to help us know when those unexpected trials and tribulations come. What about you today? Do you know the author of the manual? Do you know God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have the power of His Spirit living in you? For whatever reason, I felt strongly to preach on this passage over the weekend. I didn't know what direction God was going to take me. And I had a couple people to come through the line today and hug me at the early service and said, "I know you didn't know, but this was exactly the verse our family needed today." And I said, "Praise the Lord, that's the Holy Spirit." And maybe that's you today. You're saying, "This is exactly the passage the Lord wanted me to hear today, so I won't be afraid, but I'll trust in Him." Or maybe you're here and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus. This is a time where you don't have to be scared. You can be bold. You can be courageous to say, "I'm not ashamed to take a stand for the one who took a stand for me when he died on the cross. I don't mind to get up in front of a few people and share that I'm on God's team." If you haven't done that, it would be my privilege to pray with you. Maybe you've been looking for a church. I love this church. This is a wonderful, the church is God's people. And maybe you've been looking for a church home. You've been visiting. We had a couple, I'm so grateful, that joined at the early service, Tim and Mary Jo Murphy. I couldn't believe it when Tim shared, "I've been attending here 5 years, and Mary Jo said, "I've been coming about 10. I couldn't believe it. But they said, "Today we want to make it official and join the church." I said, "Praise God." And maybe you've been attending here for years and years, and you've just never taken that step. "I don't want to get up in front of people." Look, people aren't here to criticize or critique you or to make fun of you. We are all in this together. If you're looking for a church, we'd love to have you. Or maybe you're a Christian, and you know you've gotten off track. You're going down that slope with no stop in sight. And if you don't, you're headed for disaster. You're going to hit everybody and everything in your path. And today, maybe God's going to say, "Hey, I want to give you self-control and self-discipline through the power of the Holy Spirit and get your life back on track before it's too late." However the Holy Spirit leads you, we're going to ask you to come in just a moment as we pray together. God, I pray right now in the stillness of this moment that if there are any folks here that have never given their heart and life to Jesus, may this be the day. May they know they are loved, they are forgiven. And all they have to do is place their trust in you, and they can pray in their own words, "Dear God, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. I invite you to come into my heart. Thank you, God, for saving me. I love you, Jesus." If someone could pray that, Lord, and mean it, then they are well on their way of beginning this lifelong, eternal journey of living with you and for you. Father, I pray for some Christians here that have gotten off track, and they've been going down that slippery slope with the world and its ways instead of allowing you to give self-discipline and self-control. And Lord, I pray today that you would bring them back to you. Lord, I pray for families that have been visiting this church. I'm grateful, Lord, for new family members coming in and folks that understand I'm not a perfect pastor. We're not a perfect church. But we serve a perfect God, and we are to love one another in spite of our weaknesses and our shortcomings and our failures. We're to encourage one another as Paul was encouraging Timothy, and as Timothy would encourage the church at Ephesus. We are encouraging one another, Father. So however God, your Holy Spirit leads, give us the courage to come today and place our trust in you, and we'll give you all the glory in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand and come as we sing this hymn of invitation. It'd be my joy and honor to pray with you about your decision.
In oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now.
Thank you for being here and allowing the Holy Spirit to be here. If this is your first time, please come back and worship with us again. If you are a repeat guest, we'd love for you to continue to worship with us. And anything we can do for you, don't hesitate to call the office. And it'd be our privilege to speak with you, pray with you. You heard me share just a moment ago at the early service today, we were grateful to have Tim and Mary Jo Murphy to join this family of faith. And then I'm grateful, as I was coming down the hall, we had a couple of our members who left us a few years ago because they moved to Texas. But now God has led them back home, and they have rejoined. They didn't come forward today, but Dickie and Marcia Jones back in the back, Welcome home, Dickie. Welcome home. We're glad. Is Marcia with you back there? Marcia, we welcome you all back home. We're excited that they went to Texas and they couldn't find the forks of Elkhorn, so they came back all the way from Texas. But so grateful to have them back home. Let me share a couple things with you. Don't forget all of the many activities tonight for children, for youth, our discipleship groups, and tonight our Coffee and Connections comes to the end of our semester for this semester. And Steve and Julie Jackson were gracious. They're making us a big pot of chili. So if you want to come, it's all going to be provided. Not all of you, but for some of you want to come. And it might feed them all, Steve. It might. But we hope you'll join us tonight. And then before closing, I want to say a special thank you to Mary and Lee Rainwater for the success of the craft fair, and all of you who helped volunteer to make it such a special day. We estimate there were about 1,500 shoppers, and counting vendors and youth and volunteers, probably 1,700 people were at the Cross Center yesterday. So I just want to say a special thank you to Mary Lee and all of you all for such a great day. And we pray seeds were planted, and some of those folks, and I think some are here today that were at the craft fair and visiting the church. Thank you all for being here, and know how much God loves you, and I do love you, and I hope you love me back. And Kelly, did you hear that? And so, and we hope to see you all again soon, tonight or Wednesday night. Sean, let's sing our way out of here.
Let's sing it together.
Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
God, we come today thanking you for your power and your love and your discipline, and just help us, God, to lean upon you and your strength and to claim, I can do all things, everything, through him who gives me strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord.